booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. It is Cinco de Mayo. Grab a margarita and some nachos.
Yes.
And start your morning the right way.
Yes, actually, it's one of my best friend's birthdays, Veronica Marin. So I'm going to be celebrating Cinco de Mayo with her.
Wonderful.
As well as her birthday. Yes.
Wonderful. Great.
And Deb is following breaking news.
Happy birthday, Veronica. Same birthday as John Rhys-Davies.
Oh, well, yes, exactly. Yeah. Hello, Frank. Hello. Deb is following breaking news. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. Sid is up with sports at 5:15. And lots of stuff trending today. President Trump will find out if he is being allowed on Facebook again. But honestly, why would he care at this point? Because he's got his own platform now. Mm. Sort of. We'll talk about that. And in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, the EU gave us more details yesterday on which Americans can vacation in one of their 27 member countries. And the final part of the cheapest holiday hotspots for every month of the year. So we've got a few months left.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
There
That's
you go.
A big Jet Set Juliet
yes.
travel update.
Powerful.
A guy that is very powerful when it comes to traffic reporting is the gentleman that has traffic and transit on the sevens every 10 minutes. And that is the inimitable, incomparable Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's something else coming, I guess, later, because that's unusual. That's unusual for this time of the morning. With again, as we begin to travel out there, we got a bad problem. This is on the Long Island Expressway, Frank and Juliet, as you travel outbound between exits 59 and 60. All lanes are closed, and this happened around midnight. Tractor trailer flipped over. There was a lot of debris on the roadway. They're still in the process of getting this out of the way. There was, unfortunately, a fatal injury. All lanes are closed. Everybody being diverted up onto the service road. So that's on the eastbound Long Island Expressway between exits 59 and 60. And again, it's been there for quite a while. Now, if you're coming inbound Hudson River Crossing, so far so good there. Same thing on the Turnpike, the Parkway, 1922, all that good. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. The supportive service of Audible. Freshen up your playlist this spring with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Start a free 30-day Audible Plus trial when you sign up at audible.com. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Today, it's going to be a bit cloudy. We'll have periods of rain, although those thunderstorms don't seem to be on the map, at least not according to my weather sources. Today's high is 67 degrees. Tomorrow, looking pretty nice. 66 degrees with mostly sunny skies, some fairly light winds, not too bad. And on Friday, we'll have intervals of clouds and sunshine in the morning. Unfortunately, it's going to get a bit cloudy later on in the day. But who knows? If you're in certain areas, maybe it'll burn off and we'll see that sun stick around. Again, the high of 61 degrees. Weekend looks maybe a little bit rainy here and there. So unfortunately, Friday seems like the day you're going to be wanting to hang outside. Currently, the temperature in Manhattan is 53 degrees. Frank.
New York State is being urged to revisit bail reform laws. It comes after Jordan Burnett, accused of vandalizing four Bronx synagogues, was charged with 42 crimes and released without bail. Under the state's current law, people who commit hate crimes don't need to meet bail to be released. The investigation is still open, and Burnett is expected in court Friday.
Today is the day that Facebook decides whether former President Trump is allowed back on the platform. But really, like I said earlier, why should he care at this point when he's got his own brand new platform? Trump launched From the Desk of Donald J. Trump, which essentially gets around social media bans by allowing supporters to share his statements on Twitter and Facebook and other platforms. Very clever, Mr. President. The webpage is referred to as a beacon of freedom in a time of silence and lies. It's also a fundraising platform in some ways. When users sign up for alerts, they're directed to a page asking for donations.
So I'm not exactly clear on what this is.
It's basically just him being able to – it's like a website.
That's it.
Where he just posts things that people can then repost. But then I thought that people weren't allowed to repost things, like interviews with him and things like
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. Right.
I don't know how this is going to work. But
so it's not a social media platform. It's a website that if people want to repost Trump musings, they go there and they can put it on Twitter or Facebook.
It's what it seems to be, yes.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. New York City is adding and subtracting school days for its students. The school year will start September 13th, But if it snows, students will be expected to log on for remote learning. That means no more snow days. Meantime, the Department of Education is going to give students time off for what is now recognized as Indigenous Peoples Day on October 11th and Juneteenth on June 20th.
Well, I don't know if you've been watching what's been happening in India. Just horrific. And as the world watches those events, the FDA has announced it's considering emergency use authorization of the Pfizer vaccine for kids 2 to 11 years old. The move comes as experts essentially wring their hands over the increasing number of kids being infected with the COVID virus. Polls show younger Americans are the least likely to say that they want the shot. Meantime, trials in children 6 months to 11 years old are ongoing.
Well, we've been telling you about the death of this police officer, and you'll hear coverage, I'm sure, all morning long. Members of the NYPD and other law enforcement agencies swarmed Long Island streets yesterday to bid farewell to fallen officer Anastasios Sakos. Police Benevolent Association President Pat Lynch told NBC New York that yesterday was difficult for the family and city police officers, adding they realize it could be any of them. He says a routine highway job led to an officer's death, explaining that's why members show up to support families.
All right. Caitlyn Jenner just dropped her first campaign video. It's basically an introduction to folks who may not know much about her, despite her being in the headlines for the better part of, what, 4 decades or so? The 3-minute video features images of her, then his 1976 Olympic wins. Former Trump campaign manager Brad Parscale posted the video, although he's apparently not an official member of the campaign staff. He has reportedly been advising Jenner. Let's take a listen.
California, it's time to reopen our schools, reopen our businesses, reopen the Golden Gates. So I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, I'm running to be governor for all Californians. To reclaim our true identity.
The spot debuts just hours before her first national TV interview on Wednesday with Fox. Meantime, one of Jenner's GOP rivals is also making a splash with his own campaign video. John Cox lost to current California Governor Gavin Newsom back in 2018. His new ad's called Meet the Beast, and it features a growling, snarling bear. The gist of the ad, Newsom is a pretty boy, and California needs a beast, and that's me.
Rock star Bruce Springsteen is adding another trophy to his shelf. The Boss is being granted the Woody Guthrie Prize by the Woody Guthrie Center. He'll receive the award, which is granted to artists who follow in Woody Guthrie's footsteps, on May 13th.
And they trapped Capitol cops in a tunnel. They attacked them with chemical sprays, threw lit firecrackers at them in one of the more violent clashes from the January 6th Capitol attack. Yet the DOJ is preparing to offer plea deals to 4 rioters despite their attacks being caught on video. One of the more recognizable portions of that video is that clip that many of us saw of a police officer screaming in pain while getting crushed in a doorway. You might remember it's just one of several cases that day moving forward toward plea negotiations. So far, more than 400 insurrectionists have been charged.
A majority of New Jersey's senior citizens have been vaccinated against COVID-19. Governor Phil Murphy says 86% of residents over the age of 65 have received at least one dose. Meantime, more than 7.1 million doses have been administered throughout the state.
I think it's time for Sidney Rosenberg. What about you, Frank? You look really nice today with a little peachy blue.
He's in a good mood today, too. He's doing a lot of smiling. Yesterday he seemed a little
dour. Yeah, you were glum yesterday.
Monday, very glum. In fact, I put up on Instagram Monday days and rainy days. I always say that. Uh-huh. You know? Yesterday, a little better. Today, in a much better mood.
What's going on? What's happening?
Well, just Wednesday.
You're getting closer to Friday. Okay.
Yeah, getting closer to Friday.
And you're very tan. Have you been tanning recently?
I laid out yesterday for about 2.5 hours.
Where do you lay out?
Believe it or not, Riverside Park. Oh. Yes, you promised me yesterday morning. I thought about you all day.
Thank you.
You said it's going to get sunny and nice, and I got 2.5 hours of some serious 70-degree sun.
She's a wizard.
And here I thought you were in a good mood because the Mets are playing a doubleheader today.
Well, they got rained out yesterday, so.
Tell us what's happening in the rest of sports.
We got a great show today, too, on Bernie and Sid, and we do want to thank John Catsimatidis. Page 20 of today's New York Post. Finally, we got the Bernie and Sid promotion, the color ad. Finally. So
very
thank you to
nice.
John, yes. But the Mets did get rained out last night. You're right, Frank. They'll play 2 against St. Louis today. But how about the Yankees? talked about this yesterday, that a lot of trash talking back and forth between them and Houston a couple years ago. Houston got caught cheating, beat the Yankees in the playoffs on their way to a World Series win. And the Yankee fans in the Bronx, they have long memories. Or short memories. Here, in fact, were the fans last night talking about Astros superstar Jose Altuve. There you go, Yankee fans. F. Altuve. They went on to beat the Astros 7-3. Giancarlo Stanton, his seventh home run of the season. Don't look now, but the Yankees are red hot. They've won four in a row. And now at 15-14, they're all the way into second place behind the Red Sox inside the AL East. Here was skipper Aaron Boone after last night's win.
You know, the energy that was created, we haven't seen that since, you know, 2019. So it was a fun game to be a part of, and you know, guys did a lot of really good things tonight.
Yankees and Astros again tonight from the Bronx. Jordan Montgomery on the mound for the Yankees. The Nets got swept by the Milwaukee Bucks. The Greek Freak killed them 49 in the first game. 36 more last night as Milwaukee beat the Nets 124-118. This despite 38 from Kyrie Irving and 32 from Kevin Durant. Here was Blake Griffin after the Nets loss.
Definitely disappointed that we were outworked. I mean, they were more physical ends of the floor, and that can't happen. I mean, we have to match teams' intensity, because that's the thing that you can just control. You know, that's on us.
Right now, the Nets are a game and a half behind Philadelphia for the top spot in the East. And by the way, just a game and a half ahead of Milwaukee for the two slot in the East. Again, the Bucks sweeping the Nets. NHL last night, the Sabres skated past the Islanders. They're cold now, the Isles. 4-3, the final score there. The Devils, in overtime, they beat the Bruins 4-3. Sports at 15-45. For the WABC Early News, I'm Sid.
He certainly is, and at 5:17, we've got traffic and transit with Joe.
Well, be heading outbound Long Island Expressway again. A FedEx truck involved in this really bad accident between exits 59 and 60. All lanes are closed. Everybody being diverted up onto the service road. There is an accident investigation, but the thing is, this thing happened around midnight. So, again, you continue to have all lanes closed. I mean, it just can't be there much longer. It's been there for 5 hours already. And, again, this is outbound or eastbound on the Long Island Expressway between exits 59 and 60. Other than that, we're actually in pretty good shape. Starting to build up a little bit inbound in Queens on the LIE. Same thing coming up through Lower Brooklyn, inbound Gowanus BQE. And alternates out of the street. Parking rules and regulations again today are in effect. Mass Transit, good. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. I think you're going to be talking about Janet Yellen walking back her comments, Frank. Is that right?
That's correct.
On interest rates? Because it freaked the market out yesterday.
Oh, yes. I'll tell you all about it.
All right. And coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, the word coming down on who will be able to visit Italy and France and Germany and other EU countries this summer. And it is not great news for those who refuse to get the COVID vaccine.
This is the WABC Early News.
The opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed mixed yesterday, with the NASDAQ taking a significant hit. The tech-heavy index fell almost 2% on the day amid fears of possible inflation, interest rate hikes that were stoked by Janet Yellen, and tax increases. The Dow Jones posted a significant rally, ending the day up after being down more than 250 points at one time. At the close, the Dow averaged down 19 points. The S&P 500 dropped 28 points, and the NASDAQ tumbled 261 points. Now, Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, walked back comments she seemed to make earlier in the day, indicating that she thought there were going to be higher interest rates. So she said that she was neither predicting nor recommending that the Federal Reserve raise interest rates as a result of President Biden's spending plan. This comes in contrast to what she said earlier, in which she indicated that interest rates may rise in order to keep the U.S. economy from overheating. She was speaking at a seminar and said that additional spending as a result of the coronavirus stimulus could cause modest increases in interest rates. Comments she quickly took back. Juliet.
Thank you very much. It is the dossier dude that won't go away. Former MI6 officer Christopher Steele of Steele dossier fame or infamy, depending on how you look at it, reportedly has a second unverified dossier about former President Donald Trump. The Telegraph reporting the former officer compiled the document during Trump's presidency. As you recall, Steele published another dossier that made explosive claims about Trump's 2016 presidential campaign and Russian election interference. The outlet reporting this new document contains further claims of Russian meddling and sex tapes. The Telegraph said the second dossier relied on different sources this time, but didn't mention any names.
And if you are somebody that has been following the mayor's race, you may be interested to learn about a pair of endorsements for two of the female candidates yesterday. Yesterday, a longtime activist and law professor, Zephyr Teachout, endorsed Diane Morales. And we saw former mayoral candidate and former commissioner of Veterans Affairs, General Lori Sutton, endorse former Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia. That's a lot of formers. So as it stands now, you have the leading mayoral candidate, Andrew Yang, who has been followed pretty closely in the polls by Eric Adams and then by Scott Stringer. Stringer has lost a series of endorsements of late because of the sexual harassment allegations from 20 years ago, although he did pick up the endorsement this week of Teamsters Union Local 237.
We do not endorse dog napping. And speaking of, the Gaga dog napping drama has really all the makings of a Hollywood thriller. 18-year-old James Jackson, 19-year-old Jalen White, 27-year-old Lafayette Whaley were all arrested last week, as you know, on suspicion of attempted murder and robbery. Investigators say the group would prowl the Hollywood neighborhood, specifically looking for pricey pups to steal. And so, allegedly, they tailed Lady Gaga's dog walker, Ryan Fisher, into a secluded street before shooting him and grabbing two of the three dogs that he was walking. Those are, of course, Lady Gaga's French bulldogs. A woman who returned the dog safely back to Gaga, you probably heard, it turns out she was simply playing the role of Good Samaritan. She has since been charged in the heist as well.
Some of New York City's Italian Americans are in an uproar over the school calendar referencing one holiday. What was once known as Columbus Day is now being celebrated as Italian American and Indigenous Peoples Day. But Democratic State Senators Diane Savino and Joe Addabbo say the original calendar only referenced Indigenous Peoples Day, arguing it created division. Schools Chancellor Mayesha Patel says the new name honors both communities.
I love my Diane Savino.
Not as much as I do.
Oh.
Although she likes you more than me.
Why? Really?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm quite fond of her, but she
I think she's
your
cool.
biggest fan.
She's cool.
Listening to us right now, I would imagine.
Oh, you think?
Yes.
Well, it's very early.
She's an early riser.
Oh, well. It was a horrible story that garnered headlines for weeks back in the fall of 2006. I remember this really well, actually. It's disgusting. A 14-year-old girl was kidnapped after getting off of her school bus, held in a bunker for 10 days before she was saved. Her kidnapper, Vincent Filia, had been serving a 421-year sentence for the kidnap, rape, and torture of the teen down in South Carolina when officials say he was found unresponsive earlier this week in his cell. No word on the cause of death. Good riddance, I say. Officials say the girl was eventually able to use Filia's cell phone after gaining his trust and telling him she wanted to play video games on it. I guess he left the house where she was being held and she was able to text her mom. Officers were able to find her general location and saved her. Ugh.
Ugh,
God, disgusting.
Federal agents.
Monsters.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
But federal agents are looking to seize an ancient sculpture bought by Kim Kardashian.
What?
The U.S. government says the ancient Roman sculpture was illegally smuggled out of Italy. ArtNet reporting that Kardashian bought it 5 years ago from an art dealer in Belgium. When it was shipped to the United States, officials got suspicious about its origins because of two different sets of paperwork attached to it. Italian authorities believe it was stolen and illegally taken out of the country.
Oh, wow. Well, that's unfortunate for her.
That is for sure.
Although she's a billionaire, so I guess nothing's really that unfortunate.
Yeah, but still, to lose your husband and a sculpture in the same year, it's rough.
Pretty rough. The Duchess has added yet another title to her royal repertoire, author. Duchess of Sussex, a.k.a. Meghan Markle, announced Tuesday that she has written a children's book. It's called The Bench, and it is reportedly a tale of the special bond between father and son as seen through a mother's eyes. It was reportedly inspired by a poem that she had written for Harry after their little Archie was born. The book features illustrations by best-selling artist Christian Robinson, who Meghan says will be able to tell the story through a, quote, inclusive lens. The book goes on sale June 8th.
Well, the U.S. birth rate has fallen to a new low. What was already a declining birth rate in the United States has gotten a bit worse because of the pandemic. Evidently, a lot of folks were putting off starting a family because of financial concerns, and you had already a lot of women continuing to work longer and put off having children until later in life, which has led to a 4% decline year over year for births.
Well, I actually thought that maybe we'd see an increase.
I think that's what a lot of people were predicting, because people would be stuck home with their spouse. What else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do? Go lock down.
Not happening.
All right, it is time for traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan. What was Joe doing during the pandemic?
That's what
I want to know.
Not making
or
babies.
Do I? I don't know.
Eastbound on the Long Island Expressway at FedEx, tractor-trailer accident again. That continues. A FedEx tractor-trailer between exits 59 and 60. All lanes are closed again. Everybody being diverted off to the service road. This is a multi-vehicle accident. There's lots of arms and legs to it. It happened around 11:30 last night, and it is just looking at the cameras. It does look like they're starting to wrap this thing up. So as you travel on the Long Island Expressway, again, everybody being diverted to the service road between 59 and 60. Now, all the way at the other end of the listening area, eastbound, well, no, not listening area, WABC, you can hear it in like 52 countries. If you're traveling eastbound on Route 80 coming in to exit 4, there's an accident there. That also in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. And alternate side, once again today, is going to be in effect. This report, a service of Indeed.com. With Indeed Instant Match, you can accelerate the hiring process. Just to sponsor a job, and you'll list a quality candidate whose resume it matches your job description. Fast hiring, no speeding tickets. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, if you're planning a vacation but you cannot decide where and when to go, I have some great suggestions. And I also have the conclusion of my two-day update on the most affordable, fabulous cities to visit for every month of the year. But first, let's head over to the news desk for Deb's news headlines. From the 77 WABC early news desk, I'm Deborah Valentine. Fog and mist, bring your umbrella today, rain. Well, Suffolk County Police detectives, as you heard Joe Nolan talking about, investigating that deadly crash on the Long Island Expressway in Ronkonkoma, happened about 11:30 last night. Two drivers stopped. One of them got back into his vehicle after they had some type of a minor accident. And the driver of this Honda, identified as 29-year-old Neville Steffen of Lake Ronkonkoma, after he got back into his vehicle, was then struck by an eastbound FedEx cargo truck, causing him to be ejected from his vehicle and killed. Former New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver has been released from prison early, pending approval on home confinement following a 6-year sentence on corruption charges.
7-year-old Democrat served less than a year of his 6.5-year sentence because of risk concerns regarding COVID-19. Silver has been serving his sentence at the Otisville Correctional Facility in Orange County. He's waiting to hear a final decision by prison officials if he's eligible to serve the remainder of his sentence at his New York City home. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
Funeral services yesterday for fallen NYPD officer 43-year-old Anastasio Sakos, a father of two in Greenlawn. His widow, Irene, spoke during those services.
It's impossible to summarize in a few words who my husband was and what he meant to us.
32-year-old Jessica Bouvet of Hempstead is charged in the officer's hit-and-run death. She faces vehicular manslaughter, DWI, and 12 other counts. New York City Mayor de Blasio, during the service yesterday, calling for stricter DWI laws.
We have to do something to ensure that what happened to him never happens to another officer or another loved one. because it is wrong.
Bouvet remains held. New York State has extended the ban on residential evictions until late this summer. Governor Andrew Cuomo signing the extension for the COVID-19 Emergency Eviction and Foreclosure Prevention Act of 2020 yesterday. Fox National headlines are next.
News. I'm Carmen Roberts. The convicted killer of George Floyd wants a new trial.
The attorney for Derek Chauvin listed among the reasons for a retrial that the jury was not sequestered and may have been prejudiced by the trial's national publicity.
Fox's Gernal Scott. President Biden wants to make it easier to get vaccinated.
Now we're going to have to bring the vaccine to people who are less eager.
President says states could expand walk-in options, allowing vaccinations without an appointment.
Fox's Jared Halperin. And an enormous chunk of Chinese space debris is likely to strike Earth soon.
It weighs 21 tons. The core rocket stage is circling Earth out of control and could fall somewhere within the next several days.
Fox's Phil Keating. The debris could hit almost anywhere. Anywhere between New York to the north and New Zealand to the south. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you. I'm Juliet. Frank is sitting right next to me. Trust me.
Oh, I am.
Dressed very nicely today. Thank you. Must have plans or something.
I don't. You know what it is? Now that Dominic Carter comes in at midnight, he always wears a suit and tie. So I feel silly being dressing like a schlub when he's dressed as if he's ready to go on television.
That is absurd. Really? You realize that that's absurd. That you're working overnight on radio. Nobody can see you.
Well, why is he dressed in a suit and tie?
Because he's always dressed in a suit and tie.
I know,
always.
But he makes me feel like I should up my game a little bit.
We got to discuss this. Okay. This is a little crazy. All right. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, proof of vaccinations will be required to travel to certain international hotspots. But what about bringing your kids?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a question I'm getting a lot of on social media. So we'll discuss that momentarily. And also, Conan O'Brien, it's the end of an era.
Mm.
Such a bummer.
I'm a Conan fan, too.
I love him.
Yeah.
Love him, love him.
Well, he has been a host of actually a nominee for the Golden Globes before. He's been a host of the Emmys, I believe, not the Golden Globes. And now the Hollywood Foreign Press Association board is pushing for sweeping reform within the organization. They say they've spent the past 60 days crafting a plan for structural changes within the body that organizes the Golden Globes. This comes after the group has gotten criticism for a lack of diversity, among other things. The board is proposing a slew of changes, including the addition of 20 new members this year with a focus on recruiting black members. They're threatening to take things further and possibly resign if the Hollywood Foreign Press members refuse to approve the reforms.
Let's talk about happy things now. It's actually an era in late night television that is coming to an end. Mm. This is happening next month. Conan, the Conan O'Brien show that's been on TBS for 11 years now, is ending on June 24th. This is according to TBS, an announcement that came on Monday. And that's pretty much the end of his whole run in late night television, because he is not going to continue in late night. They're going to be looking back with an extended hour-long finale. And instead, he is going to be hosting a new weekly variety series for HBO Max, which is cool. I feel like HBO Max is a good place for him. I'm excited.
So you think it's going to work out?
I think
well.
So. You know, he's so funny. I don't know if you've ever seen his segments where he goes overseas. And
it's on my queue from Netflix, but I haven't watched it yet.
Hysterical. I mean, he's just so funny. He's so good out on the street just being crazy.
I don't listen to a lot of podcasts because I prefer live radio, but his podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, is one of the best podcasts I've ever heard, and I am a regular subscriber.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I never listened to it.
It is terrific.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Good to know. I'm going to start listening to it then.
Celebrations will be held all over the nation today in honor of Cinco de Mayo, which means May 5th in Spanish. It was on this date in 1862 when the outnumbered Mexican army defeated the invading French forces of Napoleon III at the Battle of Puebla. The Mexican military victory evolved over over the years to become what it is today, which is a celebration of the rich heritage of music, dance, food, and culture. As the population of Mexican Americans has increased over the years, so has the popularity of Cinco de Mayo, especially for states near the Mexican border. There are an estimated 21 million Americans of Mexican descent living in the United States.
A Maryland woman was celebrating, but probably not the best move. This 47-year-old woman has been charged with attempted murder after she set her own home on fire, knowing people were inside, and then sat there watching the thing burn to the ground while sitting on a lawn chair out front. Gail Metwali is her name. She was caught on video dressed in a tank top and a floppy sun hat with a book in her lap, casually chilling out as her home went down in flames. Witnesses said that they could hear a person screaming from the basement for help. Bystanders, thank God, were able to rescue that person. Officials said four people live at the property, including Metwali. She was charged with first and second degree attempted murder, first degree arson, first degree assault, two counts of malicious burning, two counts of malicious destruction of property, and two counts of reckless endangerment. Her mugshot shows her smiling like a Cheshire cat. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Wow, wow, wow.
The
video is just unbelievable.
I would say so. A government watchdog group is going to look at the Pentagon's handling of UFO reports. The Defense Department's Inspector General said yesterday that it will determine the extent to which the agency has taken actions regarding what it calls unidentified aerial phenomena. The probe comes as a number of agencies are set to give unclassified reports to Congress next month. A task force on UAPs was created last year after the Pentagon released videos captured by service members of unidentified flying objects.
We need to create a task force to figure out why Joe Nolan does all these crazy things that you accuse him of. Here is Joe with traffic and
we
transit
report,
on the 7.
You decide.
Yeah, right, exactly. Long Island Expressway on the eastbound side between exits 59 and 60. All lanes are closed. Everybody being diverted to the service road. There's an accident investigation from an earlier tractor-trailer multi-vehicle accident with a fatality. So, again, as you travel that direction, it is shut down. And rubbernecking. Ma'am, I tell you what, my mind is all over the place today. This truck accident is really quite the mess. It was a horrible accident. And, again, as you come inbound, you're going to have some delays as you come inbound as well. Eastbound on Route 80 at exit 4, an accident being cleared. Inbound on the Gowanus in Industry City, there's a collision there. Center lane out. That doesn't look like it's going to be there very long, though. And alternate side, once again, today is in effect with traffic on the 7s. I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
I tell you, this cryptocurrency is hot right now. I just asked what Frank's business segment is going to be. He says, quote, it's all about Dogecoin. And I've got a story about cryptocurrency, too. Also in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 540, the EU discussing an emergency break if infections start to increase once international travel resumes. But what happens if you're there in Europe when they put on the break?
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
At times, it appeared to be a rough day for the stock market yesterday. The Dow Jones was down more than 250 points at one point, but at the close, it was only down 19 points. The S&P 500 dropped 28 points, and the NASDAQ tumbled 261 points. The tech-heavy index fell almost 2% due to fears of tax increases, rate hikes, and inflation. But a lot of folks wondering about cryptocurrency, and the cryptocurrency Dogecoin is surging to an all-time high. The altcoin started out as an internet meme and a joke featuring a sideways glancing dog. Back in January, one token of Dogecoin was worth about a penny. But its price has been rising, thanks in part to tweets from high-profile supporters like Elon Musk. The Tesla CEO recently tweeted about his upcoming SNL hosting gig, which called him the Doge Father. So yesterday, the price of Dogecoin, which again, back in January, was a penny, rocketed to a new high of 60 cents.
Wow. It is time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Juliet Huddy TV for more details, pictures, and info. We're going to start with some breaking news. We're slowly getting a clearer picture of what the EU has in store for the return of international travel. The details are coming in basically little blips, but at least we've got something to work with. Travelers will be able to visit the European Union member countries 2 weeks after they've been fully vaccinated. As far as when this is going to be happening, like when they're going to start this up, well, that's the bad news. I can't give you a date yet. The good news is discussions on the exact plans for reopening borders to tourists started yesterday. So we should hear something soon. Now, as I've mentioned, a couple of the big hurdles include A, vaccine documentation, B, the potential for outbreaks, and C, kids. The BBC reported this week that part of the EU's plan includes a sort of emergency break that would allow its 27 countries to close borders quickly in the case of new variants or rising COVID cases. What does that mean, though, if you're stuck in a country that closes its borders? Well, that's what they're working on. As far as the so-called vaccine passports, there are plans for digital certificates that would show proof of your vaccination, which one you got, when you got it, and all that business. They'd also show COVID test results and whether they recently recovered from the virus. As far as kids traveling with their parents, the EU will apparently allow children to enter with proof of a recent negative COVID test, but there may be further testing once you arrive. The approved vaccines are Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson. Okay, now to the conclusion of my best places to travel for every month of the year report. We're up to June, and that means it's time to head down, according to Kayak, to Puerto Rico. It's hot there, but way cheaper. We're talking about a 31% drop in airfares in June. You are on the cusp of hurricane and rainy season, so you're bound to get more bright, sunny, hot days. It's a great time to enjoy San Juan's cobblestone streets and historic forts, and even better for the traveler who likes toasty ocean breezes and gorgeous weather. Texas in August, according to Kayak, yes, that's what air misters and air conditioner is for. And Dallas in August is a big modern city with some of the best barbecue and Mexican food in the country. You'll save around 43% in airfare. It is the perfect place for the traveler who likes spas in the morning, bar hopping through the varied neighborhoods of the city in the afternoon, and a big steak at a fancy Texas steakhouse for dinner. I can attest when it comes to fall, it is all about our nation's capital. I spent my high school years in D.C., and September is my birthday month, so I have lots of memories from around this time of the year. D.C. obviously is perfect for the history lover. I mean, you got the Smithsonian and everything else down there. The temperatures are cool but not cold, and on a sunny day, it can even get a little warm. So find one of those great hotel rooftops and chill out with a cocktail as you overlook the tidal basin or wander through the historic streets of Georgetown. You can even take a nice day trip to Annapolis, Maryland to watch the U.S. Naval Academy cadets and grab a great seafood lunch along the Chesapeake. Airfare is pennies from any of the New York City airports. Really quickly, back to Colorado in October. Prices to the Mile High City of Denver dropped nearly 50% because it's shoulder season. You know, you've got the after summer hordes. They've gone and before winter ski season. So it's a great spot for the traveler who loves that cold, crisp fall day every day. When I looked up what to do in Denver in the fall, pretty much everything revolves around beer. Beer gardens, beer festivals, beer-infused food. So clearly this is for the beer-loving traveler. But also sports fans and music lovers. I mean, get some tickets to the Broncos games or take a tour of Mile High Stadium. And also one quick thing, there is probably no better amphitheater in the country than Red Rocks. Rent a car, blast some U2, and go see a show.
Wow.
Now, yes. Now, we stopped in October because I gave you the Mexico stuff that hit the other
month. And just so folks are clear, when you say Texas is cheaper in August and Puerto Rico is cheaper in June, that's cheaper in that month than the rest of the year? Or
yes.
Or is it cheaper than the previous June or August?
Both, actually, yes. And so, so in airfares. And so typically you'll also see the same thing reflected in hotel costs and Airbnbs and so forth.
Very interesting.
I agree about Red Rocks.
Yeah.
U2 does a version of Sunday Bloody Sunday live at Red Rocks.
The whole video.
Best ever.
They did the whole video at Red Rocks. Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
The best.
I know.
The best.
Yes. Evan Lee. Hi, Sydney.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Great.
Good to see you. Good
you
to
too.
See both of you guys. We had some action last night. Juliet and Frank in the Bronx. F. Altuve was the chant last night. You may remember a couple of years ago, the Houston Astros, the big cheating scandal, and beat the Yankees in the playoffs on the way to a World Series win. Yankee fans have not forgotten. F. Altuve, they were screaming all night, ready to throw garbage cans on the field. Because remember, the Astros were hitting the garbage cans and stealing signs. But the Yankees got the best revenge, folks. They beat the Astros last night 7-3. Giancarlo Stanton, another home run, his seventh. Don't look now, but the Bombers have won four in a row. And at 15-14, have climbed all the way to second place behind the Boston Red Sox inside the American League East. Here's DJ LeMahieu on those Bronx fans.
I think the fans, have their opinion, and they let them know, and they were, behind our, they had our backs the whole game. It was pretty, to know the fans have our backs like that. It's pretty special.
Yankees will host Houston again tonight in the Bronx. Jordan Montgomery on the mound. The Metsies got rained out. They'll play two against St. Louis coming up later on today. Jacob DeGrom, his start pushed back. Mets are hoping he can pitch by the weekend. He's got tightness on his right side. The Nets got swept by Milwaukee. First, a Greek Freak put in 49 in a win in Milwaukee. Last night, 36 more. Bucks beat the Nets, 124-118. This despite 38 from Kyrie Irving and 32 from Kevin Durant. Nets find themselves a game and a half behind the 76ers, second place inside the Eastern Conference. Hockey last night, the Isles lost again. They're cold now. They lost in a shootout 4-3 to the Sabres. In overtime, the Devils skated past the Boston Bruins 4-3, and the Rangers, head coach David Quinn, Ranger fans all over the country, really pissed about that hit that Tom Wilson of Washington put on Panarin a couple of nights ago. They want this guy to go to jail. Go to jail! That may be a bit much for me, but it was ugly. We'll see how that saga continues. But again, the big story today, the Yankees exact revenge on the Astros. Sports at 15-45. For the WABC Early News, I'm Sid.
Well, someone who many of you have called for jailing for inaccurate traffic reports has been Joe Nolan, who has the traffic and transit on the 7s. Hello there, Joe.
Did you watch any of that Yankee game last night? I know you're probably sleeping.
No, I was up, but no, I didn't watch it. I am looking forward to seeing the Mets doubleheader today, though.
Oh, okay. You're one of those. All right. Well, if you're eastbound on the LIE, all lanes are closed between 59 and 60. Everybody over to the service road. Accident investigation, tractor-trailer, multi-vehicle accident. They're still in the process of clearing that up and out of the way. Westbound on the Belt Parkway at Merrick Boulevard, an accident, one lane out. Inbound on the Gowanus in Industry City, there's an accident now. Center lane closed. Eastbound on Route 80, you're all jammed up coming into exit 4. And then southbound on the 6 trains. They're on the express track from Hunts Point Avenue to 138th Street. That with police activity and alternate side again. And today is in effect. This report, service of Audible. Freshen up your playlist this spring with Audible Plus. Listen all you want to thousands of select Audible originals, audiobooks, podcasts, and more. Start a free 30-day trial when you sign up at audible.com. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much. From your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today is going to be cloudy with periods of rain, only getting up to about 67 degrees. Tomorrow looks a lot nicer, 66 degrees, but mostly sunny skies. And Friday, pretty decent. We'll have clouds and sunshine throughout the day. Maybe getting a little bit more overcast as the day goes on, but still not going to be too bad, although the temperature is going to be fairly cool, 61 degrees, and we should expect some showers on Saturday. Currently, the temperature in Manhattan is 53 degrees. And when we come back, if you're worried about heart disease, scientists say we know the key.
This is the WABC Early News.
And WABC Early News time is 5:50. If you're worried about your risk of heart disease, scientists in Australia say the key is in the greens. They studied a sample of more than 50,000 people, and they found eating just one cup of leafy greens like spinach or kale each day can lower your risk of heart disease by up to 26%.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, yeah. Apparently, it has something to do with the nitrates in the veggies. It's thought that they can boost the amount of nitric oxide in your body, which helps blood vessels expand, lowering blood pressure. For those who don't like greens, just go ahead and blend them in a breakfast smoothie, and you're going to be okay.
Well, if you don't like greens, perhaps you're more of a fan of marshmallows. There is a new Guinness World Record for the farthest distance a marshmallow was propelled and caught in someone's mouth.
Huh.
How far do you think it is?
I'm going to say 12 feet.
John Palika was able to catch a marshmallow after Dallas Anderson launched it via slingshot from 225 feet and 10 inches away.
Oh, I thought they were launching it from their mouth. Like,
No.
Oh.
They caught it.
My
the two were inspired to try and break the record after they caught marshmallows in their mouths for one of their YouTube videos.
Was it a large one or a little mini marshmallow?
I think it's like a standard size marshmallow.
Well, we don't know that. I mean,
I will do some further investigating.
All right. His name, Ari Nagel. But dozens of women know him better by his nickname, the Sperminator. The New York College professor appeared on the Dr. Oz show Tuesday to talk about why he has fathered 78 children and currently has 13 women pregnant. His answer? I just can't say no. The 44-year-old who is, you know, he's attractive. He's no Henry Cavill. He's no John Fattoruso. But obviously he keeps himself in good shape and he says he has a great life. He gets lots of hugs and kisses every day. So he obviously stays in touch with the kids, even if he says he struggles financially. So he must be helping out financially with the kids too.
Was he a sperm donor?
Well, initially he was just a sperm donor, but he was doing it the natural way. But now he's just, you know, giving them a little cup of
But if he's a sperm donor, why is he supporting these children financially?
It's a good question. I don't know that he is. Maybe he's helping them a little bit.
I think somebody we should invite on as a
Think so.
Well, some sanitation workers in New Jersey are going above and beyond at their job. That's because they spent an hour and a half going through the contents of a garbage truck helping a woman find her wedding ring and wallet. Ruth Watson told NJ.com her 10-year-old son thought the bag that contained her valuable items was trash, so he took it to the curb. Watson said she couldn't explain how she felt when she realized the trash had been picked up. Now, thanks to Ramon Nazario, Alfredo Perez, and Paul Diola, her ring is now back on her finger.
Wonderful. Speaking of rings, lest you think tech nerds can't be Romeos, wait till you hear this one. This is insane. Bill Gates, who announced Monday, as you know, that he and his longtime wife, Melinda, are divorcing, has apparently been having a once-a-year or so fling with his ex. And Melinda reportedly signed off on it. The Daily Mail reporting the 65-year-old billionaire dated a woman named Anne back in the 80s, but broke up just before meeting his future wife, Melinda. The former lovers apparently never formalized the former part. And Bill would spend a weekend every year with his old flame at her beach house in North Carolina. Meantime, Gates has reportedly added a 97-year-old to the roster of attorneys handling his divorce. Charles Munger is the VP of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway and is apparently one of Gates' idols. So now he's helping out at the age of 97. Quite a strange little crew he's got going
there. That is for sure.
Wow.
That's for sure.
Wow.
A former Minneapolis cop is asking to have his murder conviction thrown out. Derek Chauvin wants to schedule a new trial. His attorney cites jury intimidation as one reason. He also blames the court for not sequestering jurors. Chauvin was found guilty last month of killing George Floyd. The new request comes ahead of the one-year anniversary since he held Floyd down for 9 minutes on video until he stopped breathing.
You were just talking about Dogecoin. So, and I was saying that cryptocurrency is just the hottest thing now. Yes, apparently it is because a major auction house has finally broken down. Sotheby's announced Tuesday that it is going to accept Bitcoin and Ether in an upcoming auction featuring a piece by the controversial street artist Banksy. Love is in the air is the piece, and it will go to the highest bidder, whether it's crypto or U.S. dollars. Sotheby's CEO Charles Stewart was on CNBC's Squawk Box on Tuesday, and he says, what better combo to introduce crypto than an iconic Banksy painting? Mm. Banksy's Love is in the Air is one of the British artist's best-known works. The auction is set for May 12th, and the piece is expected to fetch between $3 and $5 million.
And Vitalik Buterin, the 27-year-old programmer who created Ethereum when he was only 19 years old.
Ethereum?
Ethereum,
oh, okay.
Yes.
They refer to it as Ether.
Well, maybe that's the if you're informal. Maybe
okay.
But he is now a billionaire, thanks largely due to his holding of Ethereum.
He's that 27-year-old? Yeah, I just saw that the other day. If you're looking for a smushy furball, don't pick a poodle. That's the message from scientists who studied dogs to see which breeds were generally the most aggressive and which ones were the most docile. And the results are actually pretty shocking. I didn't delve too much into this, but I'm just looking at the headlines. But apparently, long-haired collies like Lassie were found to be the most aggressive dog breed, according to the study. What? Huh? Poodles, mini schnauzers, they were also high on the aggressive list. We were actually looking into a mini schnauzer.
I am not surprised by the poodles, but I am surprised by the glassy type dogs.
Yeah. When it comes to gentle, it's all about the Labradors and the Golden Retrievers. But scientists also say smaller, older male dogs are more likely to be aggressive and growl and snap and bark at humans, which is, I mean, I'm seeing it now because my Chihuahuas, Gomez and Cheeto, when they were young, they were little love bugs. But now they're like old men and it's just, it's like the two guys in the Muppet Show. Statler and Waldorf, exactly how they act.
Somebody that has proven that older males do tend to get more aggressive, at least barking towards Met fans, happens to be Joe Nolan, who has the traffic and transit on the 7th.
Get off my grass! On the Long Island Expressway, eastbound, all lanes are closed between exits 59 and 60. Again, everybody off to the service road with an accident investigation. Tractor-trailer, multi-vehicle accident still in the process of being cleared up and out of the way. Van Wyck northbound at Jewel Avenue, a collision also on the belt now, westbound at Merrick Boulevard. There's an accident there, one lane closed. And now inbound on the Gowanus at Industry City, we have a crash, center lane out. Then way out in Jersey, eastbound on Route 80 at exit 4, an accident on the Transit Authority. Downtown, six trains running express from Hunts Point Avenue to 138th Street. That with police activity and alternate side of the street. Parking rules and regulations are in effect. The Construction Industry Safety Coalition reminds you Construction Safety Week is happening this week. And now more than ever, the industry is focused on mental wellness and physical safety for their workforce. Promoting holistic safety in the workplace can save lives. Be present, be focused, and be safe. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
All right, Joe. Boys, you know what they say. Big feet, big... Well, forget that urban myth, apparently. Researchers say the real indicator of a man's size is his noggin. His nose, Frank Morano.
But that's not a noggin.
Your noggin, your nose.
Noggin is your head.
I thought the noggin was the nose.
No, your nose is your schnoz.
All right, well then, oh, that's true. Well, remember, it's early. Apparently, men with large noses tend to have larger property, mm-hmm. male property. Mm-hmm. Scientists study the size of the male reproductive organs of 126 corpses and found a link. I don't even want to know how they found a link. Apparently, men with the biggest noses have about an inch more. I'll turn the music on, please. Get me out of this. In length than those with smaller sniffers.
Well, the nose knows. That's all I'm saying.
Don't it?
That's right.
I really don't know where to go from here with that one. Sorry, Mr. Katsimatidis.
We will be exploring what the nose says about other aspects of your body next hour. Sid Rosenberg will be here, and we'll see what his nose length says about him. The Fox News national news is next.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
This is the WABC Early News. It's Wednesday. It's Hump Day. Also happens to be Cinco de Mayo. I'm Frank Morano.
And I'm Juliet Huddy. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Do you celebrate, Frank?
I usually do. I have sort of a busy day of running around, so I can't really do anything. If I have any leisure time today, it will probably be spent napping.
Well, I'm taking my friend out to breakfast at 8 o'clock.
Veronica.
So, yes, it's her birthday, so I will have a celebratory something for you.
Wonderful. I hope you do.
I will. Certainly. So we're going to be talking about lots of things today. Sid is up with what's happening on Bernie and Sid and, of course, sports. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. And Deb is following all of the breaking news. In the meantime.
Is that breakfast near here? I'm wondering if I can crash that breakfast.
It's down in the Bowery.
I see.
You're welcome to join.
I know, but it's
Come
not
on.
Till 8.
No.
When?
8.
8 o'clock. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Okay.
Breakfast marks?
What?
Breakfast marks? Breakfast margaritas?
Yeah. Heck yeah. They make them. Sure. Why not? You're all invited.
All right.
That'd be fun to celebrate with her. I mean, not that you don't know her or anything, but anyway, let's move on. We'll talk about this after the show. Okay. Let's go to traffic on the sevens with a guy who celebrates all the time with margaritas, even while he's on the air, which is why he sounds so crazy sometimes. Joe Nolan.
I have done that though.
Back in the day.
Long Island Expressway eastbound, all lanes are closed between exits 59 and 60. Again, everybody being diverted to the service road. Accident investigation, truck, tractor-trailer accident, multi-vehicles involved. The only thing left right now is that tandem tractor-trailer FedEx truck, which still needs to be removed. Northbound on the Van Wyck at Jewel Avenue, an accident. Westbound Belt Merrick Boulevard, a collision there with one lane out. Inbound on the Gowanus BQE Industry City, an accident. Center lane. Southbound on the Sawmill at Lockwood Avenue, there's an accident. Transit Authority, downtown 6 trains express only Hunts Point Avenue to 138th Street with police activity, and all on its side of the street, parking rules and regulations again are going to be in effect. That Scott and Todd show is pretty wild sometimes. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Huh?
He said the Scott and Todd show was pretty wild sometimes. The implication being that they would party with margaritas there.
Oh, didn't realize that. That's disgraceful. Thanks, Joe. All right, for the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today it's going to be pretty much a wash. Rain throughout the day, light winds, 65 degrees. Tomorrow looks nice, though, 65 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Friday is cooling off a bit. We're going to get down to 61 degrees. That is unseasonably chilly with partly cloudy, partly sunny skies. And Saturday, we should have some rain, a steady rain in the morning, and then showers continuing in the afternoon with a high of 55 degrees. Currently, right now in New York City, it is 53 degrees.
Republicans on Long Island are trying to get Memorial Day parades back. Nassau County's GOP-controlled legislature sent a letter to Governor Cuomo urging him to issue guidance for parades in time for Memorial Day. Nassau County presiding officer Richard Nocolello wrote on social media that if we can safely attend a baseball game, visit a museum or a beach, then we should be able to honor those who have laid down their lives for our country. Parades were not allowed last year for Memorial Day because of the pandemic.
Today is the day that Facebook decides whether the former president is allowed back on their platform. But, I mean, at this point, it sort of seems like it's a moot point because the president announced yesterday that he has launched kind of his own platform, I guess you could say, from the desk of Donald J. Trump, it's called. It, according to sources, gets around social media bans by allowing supporters to share his statements on Twitter and Facebook. The webpage is referred to as a beacon of freedom in a time of silence and lies. It's also a fundraising platform in some ways because when you sign up, you can sign up for alerts and they're directed to a page to ask for donations. So, again, I don't know that it's a social media platform, really. I mean, it's sort of just an engine that you can take, pick and choose, and then retweet and re-forward, I guess.
I guess it's better than nothing.
But will Facebook and Twitter then say you can't do that?
Excellent question. Just 35% of New York City cops are fully vaccinated against COVID. Only 39% have received at least one shot of a vaccine. Those numbers are much lower than the general population, as 55% of New Yorkers have received at least one COVID shot. The NYPD says they have made vaccinations easily available at a slew of sites and times across all five boroughs for officers, and have even produced videos aimed at cops to encourage them to roll up their sleeves. The Washington Post reporting that police departments across the country, such as Phoenix and Las Vegas, are reporting low shot rates among their officers. So for some reason, police officers don't want to get vaccinated at the same rate that the general population does.
Interesting. Well, speaking of the police officers, the Chauvin guilty verdict may now be in jeopardy. One of the jurors who convicted the former cop last month under fire now for lying to the court. Brandon Mitchell told lawyers in a 14-page questionnaire that he had never protested over police use of force or brutality. Yet pictures have emerged on social media showing him taking part in an event over the summer commemorating MLK's I Have a Dream speech. But, okay, so normally it's like, okay, that shouldn't be too bad, but it shows Mitchell wearing a T-shirt with a picture of King and the words, "Get your knee off our necks," and also the words Black Lives Matter on the shirt. He's also wearing a Black Lives Matter baseball cap. So that is an issue. Mitchell says he wasn't there to protest police or commemorate George Floyd, but experts say this could raise questions of impartiality in an appeal to say Chauvin was denied a fair trial.
Former New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver has been released early from prison where he was serving a sentence after being convicted on corruption charges. The 77-year-old Democrat served less than a year of his six-and-a-half-year sentence because of risk concerns regarding COVID. Silver has been serving his sentence at the Otisville Correctional Facility in Orange County. He's waiting to hear a final decision by prison officials if he's eligible to serve the remainder of his sentence at his New York City home.
The head of a controversial Colorado religious cult has been found dead. Deputies discovered the body last week inside a home where the followers of the Love Has Won cult lived. Cops say Leah Carlson, otherwise known as Mother God, was found mummified in a sleeping bag wrapped in Christmas lights.
Wow.
Yeah. People who have had family members in the cult have accused Carlson, or Mother God, of being abusive to her followers. Meantime, seven people inside the home during the raid were arrested on charges of abusing a corpse and child abuse. Apparently, she drank some sort of concoction that the cult had created to help rid people of COVID, and I guess it had mercury in it, and so she's kaput.
Wow. Two New York cops are being praised for their compassion after buying socks for a would-be shoplifter. It happened at a discount store in Mount Vernon when the two officers were called to respond by a manager. Officers Chris Cartwright and Jason Velez say the man admitted what he was doing right away and said he just needed some socks. No charges were filed as the officers bought the socks with their own money after the man vowed he wouldn't shoplift going forward.
A set of love letters from JFK are up for auction, but the recipient was not his fiancée at the time, Jacqueline Bouvier. The notes were penned by Kennedy to his Swedish mistress, a woman named Gunilla von Post. The future president met the Swedish socialite in the summer of 1953 on the French Riviera. He was then a Massachusetts senator, and he was weeks away from marrying Jackie. For the next 3 years, apparently, the lovers exchanged letters, with Kennedy even planning to leave Jackie at one point, according to these letters. The two reportedly saw each other in 1959 when they spent a week together in Sweden. They only saw each other once more after that, though, by chance at a gala in 1958 while von Post was pregnant with her first child, not by Kennedy. Experts say the letters are significant for myriad reasons, not the least of which is that it's really the first time that we've seen Jack display open affection in communications to another woman while he was married.
What? He made Bill Clinton look like a virgin. Are you kidding me?
No, the first time that we've seen in communications, like you were
like in writing.
Like,
right,
yeah,
right,
like you right, could, right. He said how he felt.
I would say Marilyn Monroe's dead body was some type of communication.
Perhaps.
You know, I don't think we're supposed to use the word mistress to begin with
no?
anymore.
It
was banned by the AP, but we're not bound by AP rules. But
no.
If that letter was sent while he was only engaged, not married, I think it's definitely not a mistress.
Well, no, there was an affair going on while he was married. So.
I see.
But yeah, no, she is pretty much a mistress.
Even
she's
premarital?
Yeah. I mean, she was weeks away from getting married.
I know, but
that's mistressy.
All right, well, once you put a ring on a girl's finger,
yeah, you're
supposed to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to. So to your point, you're wrong. But you're just wrong. You put the girl, you put the ring on the girl's finger. It's supposed to be it. That's
technically,
it.
You're probably right,
yes,
but ideologically,
right?
Yeah,
well, there's no one I enjoy getting a lecture more from on this subject,
especially about this.
Yes, at 6:15. Let's hear about sports.
All right, let's start with the Yankees last night. That was a fired-up crowd in the Bronx. You remember a couple of years ago, on their way to a World Series win, the Houston Astros got in big trouble for cheating. And on the way to that World Series win, they beat the Yankees in the playoffs. Yankee fans did not forget, and boy, did they give it to the Astros last night. And then the team exacted the best revenge by beating the Astros 7-3. Giancarlo Stanton, his seventh home run of the year. Don't look now, but the Yankees have won four in a row, and they're now 15-14 in second place inside the American League East, 2.5 behind the Boston Red Sox. Here come the Yanks. They'll play again tonight, hosting the Astros in the Bronx. The Metsies, they got rained out. They'll play two in St. Louis against the Cardinals today. But after the 5-4 loss on Monday to St. Louis, the Mets fired Both their hitting coaches, Chili Davis and Tom Slater. Here's Met President Sandy Alderson on that decision.
Well, it was a decision that we felt we needed to make. It's unfortunate that you have to make a change of any sort during the season.
While the Knicks remain red hot, the Nets don't. They just got swept by the Bucks. The Greek Freak put in 49 2 days ago, beat the Nets. Last night, 36 more. Bucks beat the Nets 124-118. This despite 38 from Kyrie Irving and 32 from Kevin Durant. Nets are now a game and a half behind the 76ers in the two spot in the Eastern Conference, but just a game and a half better than the Milwaukee Bucks. And, of course, a couple nights ago when the Rangers were officially eliminated from postseason play, they lost to the Capitals. Capitals player Tom Wilson hit Rangers star Panarin so hard, he's out for the year. Many folks think it was a dirty hit. At the very least, should be suspended. Some say he should go to jail. Here's Rangers head coach David Quinn on that.
To me, anybody in hockey, certainly everybody in our organization, is very disappointed. Certainly thought it was warranted a suspension. We're just really disappointed. A line was crossed. A guy didn't have his helmet on. Vulnerable. He got hurt. You know, to me, it was there was an awful lot there to suspend him.
Quinn is right. Washington's going to the playoffs. Wilson should not play. Sports at 15:45 for the WABC Early News. I'm Sid.
Yes, he is. And this is Joe with traffic and transit on the 7s.
Well, good news on the LIE there, Juliet. As you head eastbound, the left lane and the HOV lane are still closed, but at least they've got two travel lanes open now between exits 59 and 60. They're still clearing the tandem tractor-trailer that was involved in that multi-vehicle accident between exits 59 and 60. Belt Parkway westbound, Merrick Boulevard, a crash one lane out. You also have one inbound on the Gowanus and Industry City at the center lane. Now, if you're traveling out onto the Van Wyck northbound at Jewel Avenue, also look for an accident there. Sawmill southbound, a crash at Lockwood Avenue. Transit Authority, 6th train, still on the express track, Hunts Point Avenue to 138th Street with police activity. And alternate side again today is in effect. This report, a service of CVS. It pays to fill your prescriptions at CVS. In fact, you can earn up to $50 in extra bucks each year just for filling prescriptions. That's healthier made easier. Visit CVS today. See cvs.com/rxrewards or the pharmacy for details. I'm Joe Nolan, traffic on the 7. Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Thank you, Joe. More people returning to work, and Frank is going to tell you who in his business report momentarily. But first, from your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, today is going to be rainy, with some light winds. Where temperatures are going to get up to about 65 degrees today, not much warmer than that. Thursday, we look pretty good. Sunny day. Maybe some afternoon clouds, a high of 65. Friday looks partly cloudy, partly sunny. I'm going to go for the partly sunny forecast, 61 degrees. And then it's going to drop down to 55 on Saturday with a steady rain throughout the day. Sunday looks a bit better, 62 and a mix of sun and clouds. It's currently 53 degrees in Manhattan, Frank.
Well, Wall Street futures are advancing after yesterday's sell-off. Dow futures are up 93 points, more than a quarter percent. S&P 500 futures are up 15 to 25, more than one-third percent. And NASDAQ futures are up 65 points, nearly one-half percent. The NASDAQ fell nearly 2% yesterday as investors bailed on technology and growth stocks. The S&P 500 wiped out Monday's gains, falling 0.7%, while the Dow closed up about 20 points after falling more than 300 points earlier in the session. Now, speaking of stocks, the New York Stock Exchange will begin allowing more brokers on the trading floor as the coronavirus pandemic rounds the corner. Beginning on Monday, brokers who've been fully vaccinated will be exempt from random testing. They'll also be allowed to remove face masks, but they must maintain social distancing of 6 feet or more. Members of the press will also be permitted on the trading floor. However, they will still be required to wear a mask when walking around the floor, Juliet.
Sid.
Good morning.
Just Sid.
So what's Cher, about Madonna, this Sid. Decision to go from locking out of your sports reports as Sid Rosenberg to I'm Sid? Clearly, this was a strategic decision on your part. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really wasn't. I was just tired. Didn't feel like saying Sidney. It's annoying.
That
so I just
extra
said
knee is just – it's hard on the throat.
We don't need it.
I get it.
And it's hard on the throat, like Juliet said. Yeah. And I kind of like the whole image that Juliet has created.
Hollywood. There you go. It's Hollywood, but then it's Sid,
right.
Again, like Cher, Madonna.
See?
Said, yes. This is a whole.
You have no idea what you've done for my career.
To be paid handsomely for it.
You will be.
Yes.
You should have been on The Real Housewives of New York last night.
I really should be. I don't know what Andy is doing over there at Bravo.
I don't either.
I mean, look, he took Ebony. She used to be Curtis's partner. Now I was Curtis's partner. Don't you think?
I see the
trend. That would be a little freaky.
I see the trend. I say get rid of Luann, the Countess, replace her with you, and then we'll have two Curtis partners.
That's
right. And maybe Melinda Katz wants to be on the show.
If we can get Kubi in there as well.
I mean, don't you understand? I'm so controversial. I've got a big mouth.
Yes.
Lots of drama in my life. It's perfect.
I agree. And you're pretty. You should be on.
Well, that's sweet of you.
You should be on.
I think I
would watch it if you were on. That would be terrific.
I mean, who else talks about menopause like I do?
Now maybe we're getting a clue as to why you're not on. What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid program
today?
Well,
we're talking about the Real Housewives. The only show that really has the husbands play a major role of the whole franchise, not New York, not Dallas, not Atlanta, none of these shows, is New Jersey. And Frank Catania is one of the big stars. So Sunday night in the clubhouse with Andy Cohen, they're doing a special, The Real House Husbands of New Jersey. So Dolores' ex-husband, Frank Catania, will join me and Bernie coming up at 9:25.
Oh, I love
today.
Him. I can't.
He's
my
great.
Husband really wants to meet him. He wants
Frank?
To hang out with the two of you. Yeah.
Well, also coming up on June 13th, I invited you guys to this.
I'm going.
Yes.
My room is booked.
Mike Martucci last year actually took Michael Imperioli and Stephen Chirippa from The Sopranos on the road. He does Sinatra. Now that show is over. The new show is The Husbands. So June 13th, Hard Rock and Borgata. He's got Joe Gorga, Joe Beningo, Frank Catania, and they're going to do an onstage show. The women are coming, too. They're going to take it across the country. So Frank will promote both of those big events coming up on this show today at 9:25. Also, one of my favorite movies of all time is The Pope of Greenwich Village. I love that movie. Mm. I love it.
Mickey Rourke.
And?
What?
I'll tell you, it was even better than Mickey in that movie was Eric Roberts.
Oh.
The brother of Julia Roberts, the great actor. He will stop by today, Eric Roberts.
Excellent.
He's back on Grey's Anatomy this week.
He was in that great video by The Killers, Mr. Brightside.
He was. Oh, you're right about that. Very
awesome
good.
Video.
Very good.
Yeah.
He did some great movies. The Specialist with Stallone and James Woods. Star 80. About
yeah, I
that
really
playboy.
Like him. I agree.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's
cool.
Underrated.
Yeah, he did a lot of steroids, more
did
than
he?
Me. He went from like this skinny guy.
More than you.
It was like Carrot Top. Maybe not more than me. You take that back. And the real Tina's going to stop by today because you need somebody to yell and scream about how horrible the country is. So she'll do that.
So how do the negotiations go? When you tell Bernie we're having a real house husband on the show, does he say, okay, we need a political fire?
No, he's first of all, he's friendly with Dolores too, Bernie.
Oh, is that right?
He watches the show.
He does?
Yes, he does.
He has started to watch the show.
He's in.
You
know what it is? I'll tell you what it's like. I used to hate the Yankees when I was a kid. Hated the Yankees. Then I went to work at WFAN. And I started interviewing people like Joe Torre, Derek Jeter. I couldn't hate the Yankees anymore. So Bernie's hanging out with these people. He talks to them on a regular basis. He's in.
I understand.
He went right to the Ebony Williams New York Housewife column, page 8, in today's New York Post right away.
Well, he also said that he was very proud to say that he had watched The Crown and he loved it.
Yes.
I mean, the two of you just rip the royal stuff like apart constantly.
Yes, that's
mock
true.
Me every day.
I don't mock you.
Well, you used to.
I think
to.
It's I think your loyalty is
to the Brits.
Yeah. A little different. But truth be told, I readily admit that most Americans are like you and not like me. They do love that whole saga. They love it. I mean, millions of people get up in the middle of the night to watch these people marry each other. So I get it.
That's what I did. Yeah.
Isn't it the same as a reality show, though? The
same
royal,
thing.
I mean, it's
well,
the same thing.
No, because these people, the history that they have, and you understand that their family, their ancestors created government, basically created these countries.
True.
So.
True. But it is the same thing. It's just crooked teeth and hairy underarms.
Oh, my Lord. What?
All right. So Eric Roberts, the real
Tina, my people, Sid,
and
watch.
More coming up on the Bernie and Sid show, and you're not going. That's a show not to be missed.
No, it is not. And you are going to be a busy man today. I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you. I will look forward to seeing you then. And
again, you are welcome to join me down.
If it was like within a block or within an hour, I could do it. But all the way downtown, 2 hours or an hour and a half.
Well, I'm driving.
I know, but then I have my car.
Oh, that's
here.
True.
It's
okay.
Like,
okay.
It's a lot of work.
Lots of excuses.
No, it's not.
God.
No, it's not. I'm not making an excuse. I wasn't even really invited. I was honing in on.
Well, it's because it's her birthday.
Yes.
And, you know,
yeah, I don't know.
We don't know her, but yeah, I mean, still.
Limiting her birthday to people she actually knows.
But having Frank Morano walk in her birthday.
She'll
would
realize
be...
how far she's fallen.
Wow.
And how much she has to wish for.
She'd be like, thanks, Juliet. Appreciate it. Great.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show, and Juliet and I will be back tomorrow.
Yes, we will. And meantime, let's head over to Joe Nolan for traffic and transit on the sevens.
Long Island Expressway left lane, HOV lane closed between 59 and 60. They're still clearing the tandem tractor trailer that was involved in that terrible accident on the overnight. Now another one on the westbound LIE, this one coming into Willis Avenue, exit 37, an accident, at least one lane out of service. If you're southbound on the Bronx River Parkway, apparently a crash now as you come on down to Harney Road. That's in Eastchester. On the northbound side of the Van Wyck at Jewel Avenue, there's an accident, the earlier one that we told you about before out on Route 80. That is out of the way and still delays on the number 6 train. They're on the express tracks, Hump Points Avenue to 138th Street. That with police activity. And alternate side of the street parking rules again today are in effect. I'm Joe Nolan. Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.